Today is December 23rd. December 23rd. Halfway through the year. It's not really halfway. There's more than 4 months left. But time's really it's going. And by the fact that this year only has, four and a half people that can show up. It's not a good sign. You should share that with your chaverim. The question. Put your phone away.
Ooh.
All right. The question we all need to ask. Oh, what's up, man?
Baruch
Hashem. The question we all need to ask ourselves is what your goal really is. And maybe the five of you being here, you have different goals than everybody else. And again, you should share this with your chaver. Now, if a person comes here and you have a goal of doing nothing, when we had our last time, and Josh said, once we're here anyway in yeshiva, you might as well do something. Like, you're here. You might as well do something, which is a great point and spot on. If a person wants to do nothing, okay, you can't be upset if a person doesn't want to do anything that they're not here. It's not, the saddest thing is the person who wants to get into things but can't get into things. Like, that's sad. Like, I want to be in, I want to show up. Like, I don't want to wake up at 8:59 and have toast. I want to have, the granola and show up, at 7:50 or whatever time, I don't know what time Shacharis is here. Let's just assume it's 8. I want to be part of there, and then he can't do it. Like, that's, very sad. A person doesn't want to do anything. What are you going to do? So I have a chaver from Reuven Leibovitz. He's a Rebbe in elementary school in Jersey and the head of NCSY in Jersey. And he used to tell me that there's certain times of the year where you have to have, you have to look at what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? Am I at that point? So Chanukah is, we just passed Chanukah. It's hard to say we just passed Chanukah, we're a few weeks away. We just passed Chanukah, and to really evaluate what I want to accomplish out of this year, what I'm looking at myself, what I want to be in a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now, how I want to somehow, because I think I could successfully navigate Binghamton next year, which isn't true, but okay, in my mind of not really understanding the world, I kind of think I can do that. So am I at least in that trajectory that I'm going to be able to do that? Then the next time, Purim time, now between now and Purim, am I accomplishing what I want to accomplish, or am I just going through? Am I going through the motion? I forgot to bring the Gemara, but the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Chaf Chesam and Beit, Yochanan ben Zakkai, has a whole his Talmid. He was on his deathbed, and his Talmidim asked him, "Can you share something with me before you die? Because once you're dead, then it's game over. Then I can't share things with you anymore." And he started to cry. And he goes through a whole thing that he says, in this world, you're basically able to, you keep having second opportunities. If someone gets angry at you, there's a way to get out of it. I can bribe people, but once you get to the Olam Ha'Emet, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care, we don't take our money with us, and he won't care that, he doesn't really want to hear excuses. It's not, Rabbi, you don't understand. I have the worst stomach bug in the world. Because I can relate, I had a stomach bug on Motzei Shabbos. And lo and behold, a crazy thing happened Sunday morning. I made it to Shacharis. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to imagine that if your stomach is hurting you, you don't have to be in bed for 14 straight days. You don't have to do a full beat dude how it used to be. And you're able to show up. I know that's a crazy, crazy chiddush. Can you imagine your stomach hurting and still showing up the next day? I know that's really, really crazy. Fine. Okay. Maybe Ray Charnapon to hear your excuse. God doesn't care, and God knows. So, you're kind of stuck. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, my life's about to end, and I don't know if I'm going to Olam Haba, or I don't know if I'm going to Gehenna. So that's pretty scary. Pretty scary for many reasons. The first reason why we could say that's pretty scary is that if he doesn't know where he's going, we might as well all just, chuck it and be what are we doing? What are we doing? So I saw a beautiful answer that he really did know, and he was just trying to be humble, but the idea really it should be a transformative idea. When we're going through this world, assuming that we believe in God and we believe that there's a purpose in this world, what really is going to happen? If everything really is just when you date before you get married, and dating's very different than marriage. Most people, I'd imagine, not most, but probably many people will date their wife, and they'll never have a fight they'll never have a fight. Because you know what happens if you're dating, you're 2 months in, and you have a massive, massive fight? You're like, this probably isn't the person I want to be with, and you're gonna end it. But when marriage comes, you know, assuming you're not a person, you know, if every marriage ended after, you know, if every marriage got divorced after a fight, there would be no legitimate children in the world, because every marriage would end in a divorce. There'd be no marriage that would be able to to endure. Okay. I don't know if a few weeks ago, Rabbi Tanel spoke about it. He said a story of the Netziv that, you guys know what I'm talking about. The Netziv was like a little boy. He liked to play. I remember that. Tell the story. The Netziv was a little boy who liked to, he liked to play. He wasn't so into learning. And he heard his parents talking. And his parents were saying that, we're going to have to send him off to trade school. We're going to have to send him off to become a craftsman. And he comes down, like, no, I'm ready to become serious. And okay, the rest is history. And at the end of the Netziv's life, he was making, they were making another CM, whatever he was doing. And he was saying, what would have happened if I would have gone up to Shemayim? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said to me, where's my Eimek HaDavar? Where's all my Sfarim that I wrote? I'm like, what? I was a craftsman. I went to Minyan. I did Shemayim Mikra. I learned a little bit of Lacha. Like, I wasn't going to be like such a big Talmud Chacham. And God's going to like show him that whole, everything that he would have been. So I told him the next day after he told this story, a few weeks ago, like, it's not really such an inspiring story. I'm like, first of all, like, we're in Leva Torah. Let's call it what it is. Let's not, we don't have to like beat around the bush here. Like, we're not becoming the Netziv. Like, I'm not trying to tell you this. Don't get all dejected. Don't all be like, Charlie said that Mark, he tells us we have no potential. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I am saying you're not going to be the Netziv. Like, we don't have to. And even if we're going to say that's going to happen, this story's been told over to, let's say, a million Jewish people in the history of the world. If 10 of them become on that level, like, for the most part, you're going to hear that. Like, you're not, there's not like, could every one of you write a sefer? Anyone could write a sefer. It doesn't mean it'll be good, but anybody can write a sefer. Are we going to write something that's going to be a contributing thing to like the Jewish world, that in 100 years from now, they're going to have like, everyone's going to, like, there won't be a base measure that's not heard of Shaila the Jew or Posner? Probably not the case. It's probably not the case. But what we can take from that story, and I actually I had a moment like this when I first came on the Aliyah. So I was experimenting, a lot of things we could experiment with, drugs, girls, but we could also experiment with like baseball, a lot of things to experiment with. And I was waking up like really, really early to watch the Mets. The Mets in of itself was like a koala, but I was a lot of Florida in this room. Florida's awesome. I was waking up really, really early to watch the Mets. And there was one time they were playing a game. They were actually up 5-4 in, 5-4 in the top of the ninth. And they scored 5 runs to go up 10-4. Actually, the inning should have really been over, but they were playing the Nationals, and the Nationals shortstop forgot how many outs there were, and instead of turning to double play, he only got one out. The Mets ended up scoring 5 runs, we're up 10-4. Okay. Goes to the bottom of the ninth, they bring in this first clown, he gives up a couple of runs, they bring in another clown, he gives up a run, and then they go to Edwin Diaz. Edwin Diaz, who previously was like the most unhittable closer since Mariano Rivera. He had literally been awful that entire year. And I'm watching that game, and he gives up a hit, and he's like, they're like killing the ball. And it's like 10-8, I think it's 2 out, 2 men are on. And I say to myself, he's going to give up a 3-run homer, and I'm done if he gives up that 3-run homer. Now, you don't have to, I'm telling you as a big sports fan, but probably anyone that's waking up at like 4 in the morning to watch baseball games probably is not your average casual, sitting down having the beer kind of festivity, and really does care. And I'm like, I'm done if he gives up that homer. And he's going to give up the homer. I'm not trying to hedge. It wasn't like I'm like, oh, yeah, he's going to the homer, so that'll make me feel better. I'm like, no, he is going to give up that home run. Lo and behold, he gives up the home run. I close my thing. I unsubscribe from like all my MLB apps. I get rid of MLB TV, and I'm done. And whatever people tell you, I haven't really followed since then. And I was thinking about this exact story when Rabbi Tanel was telling that story, that we all have Netziv moments like that. And what subsequently happened from that story is I realized I can learn early in the morning. doesn't mean I wake up at 3 o'clock to learn, but I can learn early in the morning, which I never would have thought would have been possible. And that's what the Nitziv moments are. Like when you're going through a year here, and let's just say wherever you're going next year, if you're able to consistently do something this year. And I don't know what it is. I had a friend who went to Johns Hopkins. Now this, you can take what you want out of the story. He didn't go to Shana Bed. His first year in Johns Hopkins, he was learning like 5-6 hours a day. He also had like a 1.8 GPA. So, you know, you could take whatever part of that story you want to take. For those of you that are trying to figure out, a 1.8 is not a very good GPA. He was an engineering major, which is like really hard to have a good GPA. But okay, you can take whatever you want out of that story. But if you're going to Minyan every day this year, and you're learning seriously every day this year, so then you probably should come back next year. But if for whatever reason you decide like to make bad decisions, we all make bad decisions in life. And that's part of life, living with making bad decisions. You have to realize that I can be the Nitziv. I can be, if I did it every day this year, like, why can't I do it every day? Why can't I do it every day the rest of my life? There was a pretty wild story I read once in Rav Eliashiv's biography. I'm not the biggest fan of biographies. It happens to be some are cooler than others. Rav Eliashiv was like, it's important to have people like him who lived in the world who were Vakulo Torah. It's not really the, like, you read like something like somehow Rav Nachlis, like his stories are just unbelievable. Like, you know, there's all of a sudden there were 350 people who had nowhere to go for Shabbos and came to him. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, a person just constantly learning Torah. It's nice, I'm all for it, like, it's not so exciting. But he had one story. A guy came to him and told him, like, he never wakes up for Shacharis, this guy. Right? We have some of those in Leva Torah, maybe. So maybe that's, like, relatable. Guy never wakes up for Shacharis. Guy tells Rav Eliashiv, I have a flight tomorrow, and I got to get up at, like, 6 in the morning to catch my flight. Okay. Rav Eliashiv starts davening the guy should miss his flight. Pony, should miss his flight, should miss his flight, should miss his flight. And, okay, you know, if I daven for you guys to miss your flights, you probably wouldn't think I was, like, so nice. And like his shamash asked him, like, what are you doing? Why are you diving at the guy should miss his flight? Like, you know, it's not like so nice. Like, you know, the guy's got to get to, you know, wherever. You know, like before Corona, people were actually allowed to travel. Like, the guy had to make a parnasa. Like, why do you want the guy to miss his flight? And Rav Eliashiv said, because if he makes his flight tomorrow, then every time he's ever missed Shacharis, it's on him. Like, right now, the guy just thinks he can never wake up. It's impossible. I cannot wake up. I'm just not a guy that can wake up. Right, I'm so distracted. I'm just not a guy that can wake up. I'm going to sleep forever. But if I miss, but the guy will also miss his flight. Like, he wants to miss his flight. Okay, fine. So, for those of you that are fortunate enough to know that you actually have potential, and you're actually able to wake up, and you don't just decide to, like, show up at 9:51, and, you know, are doing a lot with your lives, and are living the fullest potential humanly possible, you know, what's gonna happen is, like, if you start, like, going on a downward spiral, that's gonna be really, really bad, because, you know that you're capable of doing, doing so much. As we start, today is December 23rd. You know, that's not as you can say, I'm not as fired up as I was when I spoke in Rav Kahn's here a few weeks ago. I was much louder and much more animated then. But the passion and the care is still there, even if the voice is lower. It's December 23rd. It's time to become serious. It's time for Leva Torah to stop being a punchline, both for yourself, both internally and outside the yeshiva. And it's time for you guys to start taking yourself seriously. It's time to decide, I'm having goals. I'm setting goals in my life. I'm setting direction in my life. What I want my life to be. Like when we all decide to make the smart decision of going to Hass this summer. And yes, that's not like, in case you weren't sure what I just said, I said when you make the smart decision of going to Hass, which means that if you don't go to Hass, you did not make a smart decision. So now that we have that clear what I meant, there's no other way of interpreting it. I made it very, very clear what one should be doing for the summer. And you know, you might decide because you know you have a healthy Yetzer Hara, which there's nothing wrong with having a healthy Yetzer Hara. And you're going to see these like girls who are actually from and going to like good seminaries. And you might want to like, you might be interested in them. And we don't want to leave a Torah to be like, oh, hey, leave a Torah. How do I get out of this? We don't want it to be a punchline because we're going to start taking ourselves more seriously. And again, you got to share it with, you know, the other 9 seats that aren't here. You know, who, they maybe need it more. But it really is time. And, And you know, the beauty of Judaism is there's a lot of different spectrums of Judaism. My sister, when she was a madricha in Midrash Moriah, like 18 years ago, she would tell the students all the time that you have to do something in life. Like, okay, if you want to go, like, and marry a guy who's going to learn in the mirror for 20 years, if you want to make aliyah, like, whatever you want your thing to be, but there's not, like, you can't, like, just be like, I'm doing nothing. Like, there's got to be, like, some passion. Like, we're Jews, like, we're living, you know, like, for those who went to Poland, like, we're living on, like, I always feel this way every time I have a child, or children so often, I'm only at four, and, you know, it happens in 6 years, so it's not like every time I have a cup of water, but, like, and my nephews and nieces, but, like, for my parents, and my grandparents, and my grandmother, who's not alive anymore, who would have, 20 great-grandchildren, that every time one of them come into the world, and it's basically since like 2003, almost every year, would have had a great-grandchild. Every time one comes into the world, it's like telling Hitler, what you want to do, you were not successful with. You wanted to get rid of all the Jews, you failed. We're living examples, we're still here. So now that we're all still here, we have to do that which is going to elevate. And it could be very, very different levels. People connect in very different levels. If you watch who, I don't need a remote that changes the seat every day, but he sits next to Rashid. There's not two more different individuals in the world that you're going to meet on the outside. They couldn't look different, they couldn't act more differently. But it doesn't make a difference, because they're both doing the same thing. They're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whatever it is that speaks to you, if it's Minyan, if it's Talmud Torah, if it's Chesed, whatever it is that means to you, but to take that to the highest level and to really make that a focal part of our lives. I had my parents actually, Halavai, I was actually a realtor because I actually brokered this house for them. I told them about this, but my people lived two doors away from my parents. So the legend goes, welcome back. The legend goes about this guy that before he had like a major procedure years ago and had to be in a hospital, but he hadn't missed a minyan in like 50 years, which is besides maybe traveling, which is absolutely mind-boggling to imagine. But all of you have to like all imagine, you know, how, you know, Mirz Hashem, you should get many, many years past it. But you know, you make your kids, your grandkids, your great grandkids maybe will make your 80th birthday party. And what's gonna be at that birthday party, and you know, could all be different, hopefully highlighting, you know, amazing thing, or 50-year wedding anniversary, highlighting amazing things that you've done. Like imagine Josh, in 50 years from now, you say you've never missed a minyan. Like, imagine what that's like. Like, when you get to a point, like, you're scheduling vacation, and it's no longer, oh, we could go out. I mean, there's certain vacations that are just usher because, you know, we say every day in Shema, like, so you just can't be in a place where people are wearing no clothing, because that's just usher. That's not, again, like when I said about hats, that's not like if you're looking at naked women, that's not like, oh, maybe it's okay, oh, my parents are going to be offended. No, that's objectively usher. Okay, if your parents will really be upset, okay, you gotta talk to people, and there is what to talk about, but that's not a vacation we're looking to go to. But then, you know, there's certain areas that you might go to where, you know, Minyan is just not so reachable. Like, you have that, you know, there are, you know, you can have like I went once to like the Poconos, like, it's like a crazy thing, like you're in a hotel with like, there's probably 100 Jews in the hotel. Yeah, the idea of like making a minyan, like they were like Hasidic Jews in the class. They were very from Jews. But I'm like, why don't we have set times for minyan? No. That's like crazy. Like, you know, that's like, you're like a lunatic. Like, you know, have a time for Mar. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, I don't know, because we're all from, like, maybe we'll die in Mar. No, that's crazy. Okay. what are you going to do? But there's other places like, that have like actual shuls, like, you know, that's just they're just better vacation resorts. So like when Josh is going to get to that point where he's scheduling vacations, it's not going to be shayach that he's going to go, obviously not going to go to Cancun, but it's not going to be shayach that he's going to go to a place where, you know, I'm not going to have minyan, because that's going to be a major part. Now again, that doesn't mean like, you know, if you just need to get to a place and it might mean you'll miss a bar, but okay, you know, it's not, again, I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst thing in the world. But at least having that as like having that as a perspective, Torah. I asked Rav Tanel, our esteemed Mashkiach. I asked him a few months ago how many guys in Leva Torah he thinks have never missed a day of learning. So he didn't give me alumni. He didn't give me. I thought the number was very low. He thought it was a little higher. Okay, you know, I guess he's more of an optimist than me. I guess that's a way of saying it. But imagine Rabbeinu Waxman. You know, when you're, you know, you can't even think about how many videos you have done about, like, good health. Like, you and Rabbi Charnov will have, like, your own show together about, like, never having a cookie before, and, like, we're all going to throw cookies at you. But imagine, like, you know, when you're 80 and you're having, you know, your big celebration, and you're saying, you know, besides all your great accomplishments you've had in life, you're able to say, you know, in the last 60 plus years, I've never missed a day of learning, whatever amount of time that might be. But every single day, because somehow, some way, in Shana Aleph, it clicked to me, I'm a Jew, I'm an Orthodox Jew, I represent something better, and I want to be the best I can be. And what can we really be if we're not learning? Like, you're gonna feel empty. You know, there's a... We'll get to you after. Because, you know, you will start to feel empty when you're not having Lima Torah. And Lima Torah probably more so than anything, just because the way... Like, if you sit on your bed all day and you're just watching Netflix, what happens... I remember one time, I thought, like, as a chada for the Super Bowl, I thought a great, great thing I would do is, I was going to, like, you know, I was really into the Super Bowl that year. I was going to do a ton of preparation. And from, like, 9 in the morning that day, I was just going to watch, like, videos on the Super Bowl. You know, it's not so hard to find them. Like, they have constant things from previous Super Bowl clips. Okay, then comes 6:18. Why 6:18 and not 6 o'clock is I have no idea. But come 6:18, you know. Okay, I'm like a little drowsy. Then by like the second quarter, I'm like basically dead. Like they have to like you know you have to like re you know I have to like shoot myself up to like you know be able to get back into it. So why did that happen? Why did that happen? Like you know I was like in high school at 7 o'clock getting tired. Like that's like a little bit of it's not so normal. Because when you do nothing all day, and that's literally doing nothing, when your eyes are in front of a screen for 10 hours, you get exhausted. And Torah is like stimulating our minds. Our minds need stimulation. Otherwise, we're just killing brain cells. You shouldn't learn only from an intellectual pursuit. That's not a great thing. We're learning as getting closer to Hashem. That's really the ichor of why we're learning. But if we're not doing anything, we just, it's not good. Each and every one of you, we could add 7 more guys to the list. 7 more guys that hopefully, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 50 years from now, 100, 800 years from now, we're all with good health, are able to say, I've learned every single day. I'm not saying to learn for 3 hours. I'm not saying, don't go tell your parents, you know, Richard decided he wanted a little time off this morning. They sent this crazy guy in who told me I gotta go to the mirror. If you wanna go to the mirror, I'll give you the haskama, you should go to the mirror. It'd be amazing. But I'm not telling you that you have to sign off a life, that you're going to the mirror and Punovich. I'm just saying that every single day the rest of your life, you should be able to have Torah as a part of your life. So now let's review this. There's three things that I've said that should be very clear. You should go to Camp Hask. You should not go to vacations where there are literally Isurim that are in front of you. That doesn't mean if you miss a minyan. That wasn't what I was saying. Other types of Isurim. And then every single day of your life, you should be learning Torah on some level. And that gets into, you know, there are people. I'm not a Torah person. I'm not a minyan. I'm not a davening. But I was listening. I started running. Although I heard from you, running's not so great because it just makes you eat a lot and it's not really so healthy. I heard from you, Rabbi Charnov, to shame you. Okay. I don't know. I started running. So I wasn't to the shiurim. All right. For those who want the shiur on running, we've got a few minutes. So a few seconds. So whatever. I was listening to something yesterday while running. Let me tell you, running in the rain, like there's nothing like you know. It feels like straight out of like Double Jeopardy when like Ashley Judd is like getting ready to get on parole to get back to her kid. I definitely just outdated myself because that movie came out before you guys were alive. But I was listening yesterday, an amazing idea about tefillah. So I was talking about the Chassam Sofer, one of our gedolim from like the 1700s-1800s. And evidently when he davened, this is like beyond unrelatable. If you guys tell me like you're going to like know Shas cold, I can really believe that. I don't believe you guys could put in the effort to do it, but I can believe that you could actually know it. But this next point I couldn't believe. The Chassam Sofer, or show me, you want to get this in. This is going to change your life. You're going to be this guy. You're going to be the Chassam Sofer. The second you believe, you can actually be it. While you're smiling off having your toast, you can't be it. The Chassam Sofer, never one time in his life while davening, his mind swayed away from what he was doing. He never had a distracted thought. I understand we're living in a different time than 1700s, but whatever the iPhone was in 1700, they had something. They had something that was distracting, like for your mind to never sway away during davening. Like that was like, that really like, I don't even know what to do with that. Like it's pretty cool. but it's so unfathomable. I cannot imagine any person. 13. What?
Even at age 13.
They said never. Like, we don't have to question Meissen. Let's just take it for what it is. And last on the list of things, you know, so if you're not a davening guy, you're not a Torah guy. Okay, it's not. I'm not gonna lie. It's not great. It's not great. I mean, we could be Dolphins guys, but like, we also have to be Torah and Tefillah guys. Chesed. There's a lot you can do. There's a certain seminary, but girl, we're not going to name what the seminary is, although it's the one that's in closest proximity to Leva Torah. There was once a girl. I heard the story. Once this girl who had a list of like every girl's name at her makom. So like nowadays, like if I saw that, I would think like you were plotting who you wanted to kill, and like we'd probably have to have you like have like a deep meeting with like Rav Asher and Rav Uri, and like, you know, I'd probably get outside help also. But back then, like when, you know, we didn't suspect that, and mental health wasn't taken to the same level of seriousness as it is today. This girl had a list of every girl's name, so someone had like the courage to ask her, "Why do you have a list of every girl's name?" Like, I'm going through the list of every single person here. Like, some of these people, I just have nothing to do with. I don't want to leave that I have nothing to do with. That there are people here I had nothing to do with. Leva Torah is a big place. You know, when I went to Leva Torah, we had between Shanav and Shanavet, there were 50 people in the yeshiva. It was not, there was something off at like 5 days into yeshiva. You didn't know who every person was and name and like, and where they were from, and not just like faces. We live in a different time, but just imagine what it would be like, Uri, if every single person in yeshiva you had what to do with, and just what the chain reaction is like when you're able to bring other people. Like, Judah brought you into my home. Like, we didn't have so much to do with each other, and you know, we're like this now after Shabbos. But just imagine every person in yeshiva. It's not just, oh, I just went to Leva Torah. No, I had something to do with them. And you start looking through, like, what act of chesed can I do for them? I may have told this. I actually believe that, like, you know, as many positive cases of corona might be, I had never heard of anyone traveling who had come back positive. I think it's everyone's fear, like, you're going to come back positive before you're fine. I never heard of that until yesterday. I heard of somebody who's supposed to come back, and now who knows what's going to be now. He moved his flight up, and he tested positive for corona. And my wife was saying, and we're friends with my wife, was saying, like, oh, should I do something? I asked, like, his wife said nothing. I'm like, yeah, no one ever is going to tell you to do something to them. Like, be proactive. Like, text her, we're getting you pizza tonight. Like, how many pies do you want to get? Okay, I'm not suggesting you do that forever. That'll become a pretty expensive venture for either you or your family, especially if you're not working. But there are very easy acts of chesed that you can do. And just knowing every person here and make an effort to actually have an impact. You know, now we went to 80. Hopefully you're all going to live to be a lot older than 80. But we'll just say, we can say 120. Okay, probably, you know, hopefully we'll get to 120, but probably won't be the case. But whenever game over is going to be for all of us, like, you want to be remembered in like the best way, but not only because, oh, so like at the Hespedim, like, oh, be nice, but oh, what a guy, oh, what a guy. But like, you want to, oh, what a girl. You wanted to like really be emes, like people really do look at you in a positive way. And the way that happens is when you start making real impacts on people. When I was trying to bet, I was walking to yeshiva for nights here. The yeshiva wasn't here, somewhere else. And we lived in apartments. And I met Rashama. And I was telling Rashama, like, my neighbor was sick. My roommate was sick. He didn't know who the guy was. Let me go say hi to him. Let me go wish him a refuah shlema. We went there. And then Rashama went to yeshiva. 15 years later, when I pass, like, that area of where that story took place, I still think of that story. Because there's acts of chesed. They just stay. They don't leave us. You're remembered by that forever. If we're gonna have if Leva Torah is not gonna be known, like, you know, we're not creating, like, you know, no, we're not going to the mirror from here. We're not creating that, you know, Leva Torah is the most important thing in people's lives. But if we're known as a nice yeshiva, then it really should be consistent. It should be that every person really is doing tremendous acts of chesed and finding ways to do chesed. Like, I'm not suggesting you should all do this at once, but probably, like, you tell Rabbi Charnov, like, can I come one night? Can I come Friday? I don't even know what rules are with babysitting. Can I come Friday, like, just watch your kids, or you and your wife?
Basically, they ask people, girls, to babysit.
Okay, exactly. Okay. Whatever it might be. Can I just come over, like, Shabbos afternoon? Can I come, like, I'll take your kids to the park so that you and your wife can sleep, or you and your wife can go for a walk, or you and your wife can go get holy bagel, or bagel, you know, whatever. Not on Shabbos. Whatever it might be, but trying to find acts of chesed that you're in other rebbeim, and saying, what can I do? Can I do something to help you? Like, to showing up, like, whatever it might be that just really leaves, that leaves an impression. If you're going to a Rebbe's house, like, so don't bring some bad cake that none of them want. And definitely don't bring something when they tell you not to bring something. But I don't know, they have a makola by me. It's like one shekel to get these Hershey milk cookies and cream type of things. And they have five children. You bring five for their kids. Okay, you probably want to be makhi the Chol Yisrael. Depends, know who the rabbi is. He's common sense. Okay, fine. You know, be it as it may, but like, trying to find opportunities on how you can do chesed. If you have evidently a Leva Torah, like I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe you have to live where I live to be able to have the stomach fires and be able to wake up. I don't know. But evidently in Leva Torah, there's a lot of people that are really sick. Okay, I won't be so cynical. And we'll end because it's recorded. And also because, you know, I want to show that I do have a little bit of a heart as well. Maybe they really are sick and it's not just in their head. So why don't we show up? Bring them soup. Bring them some lunch. Whatever it is, like, to be able to do that. So they don't have to, like, come into the, you know, into the Chadar Ochel looking like they're half dead. Like, whatever it might be. Or Anthony, like, what can I do to you? Do you need me to take your laundry? Whatever it is. But living our lives, like, if we're not going, you have to try to embody, you know, Torah, Tefillah, and Chesed all into one. It's not so easy. But we're going under this pretext, like, you're saying, like, Torah's not for me. Davening's not for me. But being a good person has to be for everybody. Like, we're not, like, if I just go up and, like, I just punch you in the face, like, I'm just not a good person. That can't be. And me not punching you, that doesn't make me a good person also. That just makes me, like, someone who's normal. Like, okay, we should all be normal. But finding opportunities and how, what can we do that's going to be nice for other people? What can we do that are acts of chesed for a day? December 23rd. Let the Shear know. Maybe they don't realize it's December 23rd. Maybe they still think it's September 11th. And, you know, it's not Russian. I shouldn't pick that date. Maybe it's September 15th. And, you know, they don't realize that, you know, it's December 23rd. But it's time to decide, like, what I want to be when I leave yeshiva and how I'm getting to that point of what I want to be after yeshiva and making these things real, real, real parts of your lives. And it's no coincidence the things that I said, like, if we want to be real Jews and we want to do real self-reflection and self-growth, Hass is going to help that a lot. If we want to be the best neshama we can have, so not being around Yisurim is going to help that a lot. And if we always want to be the best person we can be, is that we're deciding, like, on my spare time when it's very difficult, I'm going to learn Torah, and that's going to embody everything we want to be. But it is time, like, don't stroll, don't walk, like, it's the end of that run. Start sprinting. Start going, start being like, I'm going full force. I want to be something different. Not like, oh, I'm saying, all right, Tarnoff, I just want to, oh, I want to. No, you know, I don't even remember what I told her on the tunnel on Friday. I sent a lot of votes, so I have no idea what he did. But he basically was saying that, like, it's enough of, we can't say anymore, like, I want to be this. Like, so be it. And we concluded this because, you know, if we don't conclude the dating story, like, what are we really doing in life? But my wife's friend came once a bunch of times to Shabbos, and one time she was telling me over the story that she was dating a guy, and the guy said, "I'm the kind of guy," and he kept saying, like, "I'm the kind of guy, like, I'm the kind of guy, I'm the kind of guy, or I want to be like this," and I want to be that kind of guy, and the girl basically said, like, something, you want to be that kind of guy and be that guy. Because who cares what kind of person you want to be? It's like, I root for the Jaguars. Like, they want to be good. It's great they want to be good. But they stink. They're absolutely atrocious. So stop wanting to be good and be good. So stop being like, I want to show up in the morning. I really want to. I want to be that guy. Like, you know, there's actually guys here that do Kol Boker. There's actually guys that show up for Shacharis. There's actually guys who earn three Siddurim. And even, I know, like, as crazy as Shacharis, I've heard even the few times that's out here, like, showing up for Mincha, like, you know, they gotta get me, like, I'm going to B'nai Brak if I show up to Mincha here at Mar, like, you know, I'm like the Gadol Ador, but there's actually people that are doing that. So stop being like, oh, I want to be that guy that's going to be that, and start being that guy. Shkayach.